What's up, Steelers Nation, and welcome to the Black and Gold Fan Show, a show by a fan for the fans. I'm your host, Chris G. Here we go.
Oh, that's a hell of a show. You need to watch that on a weekly basis.
I'll check it out.
I mean, I hear it's pretty good.
Welcome back to the Black and Gold Fan Show. This is episode 6. Man, thank you for joining me today. I hope you're having a great day. Before we get into today's show, if you're new to the channel or you haven't done so yet, please hit that like button and subscribe. So let's get into today's topics. So first big topic is obviously nothing new to most of you. The Steelers have declined to pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option. Now to me, that's something that was pretty surprising. I mean, it was around $6.8 million. They were just under that. I mean, that's not expensive. I thought it was something the Steelers would have no problem picking up. Not sure which direction they're trying to go with Najee. I mean, he's been a leader. He's been good in the locker room. All his teammates seem to like him. The coaches seem to like him. He fits the Steelers' mold, mentality, the type of players they look for. He's been available. I mean, I don't think he's missed any games yet, has he? Maybe one, if that. But I don't think he's missed any games in his 3 years. He's been consistent. I mean, he's the first player in Steelers history to rush over 1,000 yards in their first 3 seasons. I mean, talk about being consistent. The first players to ever rush for 1,000 yards in each of their first 3 seasons. I mean, you can't get more consistent than that. And that just goes with his productivity. I mean, he's been somebody we can count on. Now, the team may want to see how he looks in Arthur Smith's new offense. You know, Smith runs a lot of that wide zone. Najee not being the fastest running back, doesn't get to the edge too well. I mean, that's not his strength. His strength is running north and south, getting downhill. So I don't know. Maybe that's something that they want to see before they commit to him long term. But Art Rooney did say, "I feel good about having a two-headed monster, if you will, at running back. Two different styles of running back, both very capable, and really, I think, with the right offensive line, can provide a real foundation for success going forward." So, sounds like they want to keep Najee around. I mean, I don't know if they're working on an extension or maybe they want to see what Jaylen Warren does. I mean, he's shown that he's been able to carry the load when his number's been called upon, but we haven't seen Jaylen Warren able to hold up through a whole season being a number one back. I wouldn't say he has fumbling issues, but he has put the ball on the ground a few times. That's something that Najee hardly ever does. I mean, there's only 2 fumbles that stick out in his career that I could think of. There may be more, but there was only 2 I could think of. Jaylen Warren just gives you a different type of back. Like Rooney said, they're a two-headed monster with different styles. Najee's that pound the ball up the middle. It warrants a more explosive running back. He can get outside. He can break the long run. We see what he did against the Browns last year. He broke that, I want to say, a 73-yard run. That's something Najee can't do. But, you know, when it gets to late November, December, January, that's when you really count on Najee. He really comes through. And he's able to put the team on his back as far as the run game and be productive. Now, when he gets late in the game and he gets cold out, those big, powerful backs come in handy. So, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Najee after the season. I would like to see the Steelers keep him around. Maybe not that number. I don't know. Maybe the Steelers will want to look to get him a little cheaper. The running back market is not the best. I'm not sure where you rank Najee among the top backs or among the backs in the NFL, but I don't know. Maybe they're looking for a cheaper deal. Same can be said with the next player, Justin Fields. His fifth-year option was not exercised also, which that wasn't a surprise. I mean, I think he had a His was about $25 million. Guaranteed, that's a lot to pay for Justin Fields, who hasn't shown to be a proven winner so far. And he has flashes of what he can be, but he hasn't been consistent at that elite quarterback. Amazing athlete, has all the tools, but I don't know if he hasn't been in the right system, which I don't think he has been. He hasn't had the pieces around him that I think he needed to be successful. And that goes with player personnel and coaches and ownership and just the Bears top to bottom. I don't think they were a winning organization. Now, it seems like what they're doing now with Caleb Williams, they're on the right track. They're bringing in talent. They are surrounding him with players that will help him succeed. So he wanted to do everything himself, which is something that should have been done for Fields. But now Fields with the good guys. So we'll see how that plays out. But he's another player. Maybe they're working on a long-term deal with him. And when I mean long-term, I only mean maybe like a two-year extension, something like that, 2-3 years. I don't mean like a 4 or 5 year extension or anything like that. But I mean, who knows? Maybe they see a player that they want to keep around for a while. I mean, I'm a big fan of Justin Fields. I've been a fan of Justin Fields since he was in high school, and I watched that the QB1 series on Netflix. So I was definitely excited when he came to the Steelers. But he's another player that his 5th year option was not picked up. I mean, that's something that we haven't seen almost at all recently. I mean, TJ Watt was the last Steelers draft picked to have his 5th year option picked up. Minka Fitzpatrick was the last player to have his picked up, but he wasn't drafted by the Steelers. He was traded from the Dolphins. But I mean, that shows you that our drafts, especially our first rounders, haven't hit. I mean, we haven't done a good job drafting over the past, I guess, almost decade or so. Now we'll see what happens with this group that's coming out with since Omar Khan and Andy Waddle taking over. And we have Broderick Jones. He'll come up his 5th year option. And then Choi Fautanu, he'll have a 5th year option coming up when it's time. So we'll see how they turn out if theirs gets picked up. So we'll have to see. I mean, now the draft is over. We talked about all the Steelers picks last week. So let's take a look at some of the undrafted free agents that we've signed. So first we're going to Benny Bishop, the corner from West Virginia. Now he's somebody that we should be familiar with, or Steelers should be familiar with. He played at West Virginia. So, you know, they see a lot of them. They pay attention to them. Yeah, right down the road. Also, Bishop came in on a pre-draft visit, so they definitely had some familiarity with him. He's 24. He'll be 25 during the season. He played at Western Kentucky, Minnesota, and then West Virginia. He's 5'9", 182. He played outside corner, though. I don't see him playing outside in the NFL, especially with the Steelers. Now we're looking for that 6'2", 6'3", type corner like the Joey Porter Jr.'s or Corey Trice. And we have Dante Jackson. He's on the smaller side, but I don't think he's a long-term solution at corner. I think they needed a solid corner opposite of JPJ. But yeah, Benny will most likely play in the slot. I mean, he's a good athlete. He has good speed. He ran a 4.39 at the Big 12 Pro Day. It's proven. He's a 2023 NCAA Consensus All-American. He's been productive. He led the nation in passes defended with 24. And had 20 pass breakups. He also had 4 interceptions. So like I said, man, it's somebody that the Steelers are interested in. Came on his pre-draft visit. Omar Khan was quoted saying, "I can tell you how excited we are to sign him. We had him here for a visit. We talked about our defense and how he would fit in. I think he's going to have a great opportunity to help us." So he's somebody that they already have an eye on of where he can fit on this roster, what kind of role he can play. And I think he could be a pretty good slot. I'm not sure if he's going to come right in and have that spot. I don't know if we'll bring anybody else in, but he's definitely an option we can play in that slot. Next we have, is it Daywon Edwards, the running back from Georgia? I apologize if I'm pronouncing the name wrong. Running back from Georgia, he's 5'10", 207. He looks to have a good burst through the hole. He has decent speed, but he's not a burner. I'm not sure exactly what his 40 time is. He didn't run a 40 at the combine. But when you look at his tape, he doesn't run away from defenders. But he's capable of explosive plays, like plays of 20 plus yards. Like he can break one. He's like I said, he's explosive through the hole. He doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle to him, but he can make the first guy miss and get extra yards. I don't see him breaking too many tackles downfield, though. That's something that I'm sure the Steelers would like to see. Something I definitely would like to see him more is get past those safeties and that second level and be able to extend those runs even more. I would like to see him break more tackles. But he was productive while at Georgia. Now, last year, he had 165 carries for 880 yards and 13 touchdowns. So he was productive. Georgia has a good reputation of putting out backs. They had, was it Nick Chubb came from Georgia? Did Noshon Moreno come from Georgia? I believe so. I'm not positive. I know Todd Gurley came from Georgia. So they have some pretty good backs they put out of their program. Also, he's shown good hands at the backfield. So he can be pretty versatile. He had 20 catches for almost 200 yards last year. But watching his tape, man, he makes some pretty clean catches. Not too many double catches, not catching with his body too much. He can't catch with his hands out the backfield. So that's something to encourage. That's somebody to look out for to see who they can make this roster. Also, we'll see if he has any special teams capabilities. But somebody to look out for, especially with not sure with Najee going in the future. I mean, I know he's an undrafted pick, but so is Jaylen Warren. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'll say he's going to be the next Jaylen Warren, but we never know. I mean, running backs, they're not as hard to find as like a quarterback or a tackle or an edge rusher or somebody like that. So you have to wait and see. Our next player, we have Julius Welskoff, the outside linebacker out of Charlotte. Played at Michigan and transferred to Charlotte. A good size outside linebacker. He's 6'5", 260. He ran a 4.8 240, so has decent speed. He was injured his final year, so I haven't seen too much film of him or seen so many highlights of his, but doing a little research on him, I learned that he's good against the run. He can set the edge well. He has limited pass rush capabilities. So his best chance to make the roster is probably on special teams. But he's an international player, so he won't count against the 80-man or 90-man roster. And he won't count against the 16-man practice squad. So he's somebody that I definitely see hanging around on the practice squad, at least because he doesn't take up a roster spot on that practice squad. So there's no harm in keeping him around, especially with somebody we can develop. Like I said, he's good sized, a pretty good athlete, really good against the run. Maybe you can compare him to somebody like a Marcus Golden, who I didn't see him do too much as far as rushing a quarterback, but he was really good against the run. Now, Welskoff might only be a practice squad player, but maybe somebody we can develop and see how he comes along. So our next player is another outside linebacker, Jacoby Widman from Michigan State. He transferred from UNLV. He played two seasons at Michigan State. Now, he's not as tall. He's 6'2", 250. His 2023 season was also cut short to injury. But their prior year in 22, played eight games, had 17 pressures, 10 quarterback hurries, 5.5 sacks, and an interception. He also led the nation with 6 forced fumbles. And you go back to 2021, his final season at UNLV, he had 118 total tackles, 6.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. So when he was on the field, I mean, he was pretty productive. He made some splash plays. I mean, 6 forced fumbles is, that's a lot. Especially, I mean, he led the nation. So that speaks for itself. I mean, he knows how to get the ball out. And that's a great quality to have. Somebody that can create splash, create turnovers. So another player to look out for is see if they can either crack the roster or at least make this practice squad. So we'll... another player to pay attention to. So the last player we signed as an undrafted free agent is John Rhys Plumlee, the quarterback out of UCF. Interesting player. I mean, he's 5'11", 200. His first 3 years was at Ole Miss before transferring to UCF. Now, he's interesting because he's a great athlete. I mean, he ran a 4.54 in a 40, had a 36.5 vertical, a 10.4 broad jump. He's a two-sport player. He played football and baseball all throughout college. So those players that are able to play two sports, especially at the collegiate level, are usually really good athletes. I mean, his freshman year at Ole Miss, he rushed 154 times for 1,023 yards and 12 touchdowns. I mean, somebody that's playing quarterback, I mean, he can run the ball. I mean, I don't think he was lined up at running back, but he can scramble around and pick up yards. He can really move. Now, when he got to UCF, he strictly played quarterback. In his two seasons, he had just over 4,800 yards, 29 touchdowns, 29 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. And again, he also rushed for just over 1,300 yards and 16 touchdowns. So he's, like I said, man, a kissing athlete. Now, he's somebody I don't know if he'll make the roster, especially at QB, where he wants to play. His best chance will probably be on special teams or just as a pure athlete. I mean, he can, somebody you might be able to move around the field. Like I said, he's played all over. He may be like a Taysom Hill type. He's not as big as Taysom Hill, so I mean, he's somebody I don't want to see him line up at like tight end or H-back, but he may be somebody you can put out in the slot sometimes. You can, I don't know if Sewell will want to do this, but you can run some Wildcat. But I mean, he has options. Also play receiver. He had 25 receptions for just under 300 yards, so he's, like I say, he's an athlete. Now, speaking of him playing receiver brings us to our next topic. A big topic that a lot of Steelers Nation are, some are pretty getting impatient about. Who's our wide receiver two? Is it somebody that's on the roster already? Is there a free agent out there that we could sign? Is there a trade that can be or needs to be made? I mean, we're not sure. Like, what are we going to do with that wide receiver two position? Can Roman Wilson fill that role? I wrote an article that you can find on the steelcurtainnetwork.com. I'll put the link in the description, so make sure you go check that out. But with this wide receiver too, I mean, we heard a lot of names like Debo or Brandon Ayuk or Metcalf. I don't think we need to bring in somebody of that quality. I mean, I would love to. It would be great to add one of those players, but what would it cost? I mean, you have Ayuk at like 25 plus million. I think Debo and DK are like 24 million or somewhere around there. I mean, you're gonna pay a lot for these players, these high end players. to come in and be a wide receiver two, or some of these players might be like an Ayuk, might be a wide receiver one. If you do that, I mean, you're taking away from other positions. Or maybe not taking away from other positions, you might be limiting yourself to what can be done in other positions. It's crazy, man. I've seen a wild mock draft trade where they had the trade for Metcalf. I forget who said this, but they said they would offer a 2025 first round pick, 2025 third round pick, 2026 second round pick, and a 2026 fourth round pick, and George Pickens for DK Metcalf. Why? I mean, what in your right mind would think anybody would make that trade? That's almost as ridiculous as what I've been hearing. Not hearing. Somebody just threw out on Twitter. I know it's a joke. It's somebody trolling. But they said we could trade Najee Harris to the Cowboys straight up for a CeeDee Lamb. Now, there's no way Cowboys would trade CeeDee Lamb for Najee Harris, even though they need a running back. It's not good business. Now, if you were to make a trade like DK and the one I just laid out, same thing. Not good business. But yeah, I wouldn't go for one of those really high echelon type receivers. I mean, I think we can work with somebody like a Cortland Sutton or Treylon Burks. It might be somebody that's a trade option now because the Titans have Hopkins, they have Ridley, and they just signed Tyler Boyd. So Treylon Burks may be somebody that might be on the move. Another name that keeps coming up recently is Darius Slayton from the Giants. He's somebody also that can fit in our offense. A good deep threat, runs good routes, good after the catch. Another player that would fit, but he's not going to break the bank. He's not going to take away of some things you could do. Now, if you sign like one of these receivers that are like that next tier, maybe you can go get a Justin Simmons and add like a Stephon Gilmore or Xavier Howard or Cam Sutton still out there. He'll definitely be cheap at the moment. So I think there's a lot more you can do if you bring in one of these the next tier type receivers than going after the top of the line type receivers, which I don't think we need, especially in the offense we have. Yes, I would like to bring in somebody else, but it doesn't need to be somebody on that level. And I'm excited to see what Roman Wilson's going to do. I mean, since we've drafted him, I've been watching his tape more and more. I like what he does, man. He's a great hands catcher, a combat catcher. He can maneuver through traffic. He's fearless across the middle of the field. He's a willing blocker. I mean, he fits in perfect. I know I went over this on the last episode, but it's a pick I'm really excited about. And also, Pat Freiermuth. He's a player that I wouldn't be surprised if he's used as a slot option a lot more this year. Now, we have Darnell Washington. We have Michael Pruitt that can be your more, especially Washington, be more your inline tight end. Pruitt probably a little bit better of a blocker than Muth. So I can see Muth lining up and playing that third receiver or playing in that slot. Now, I'm not saying it'll be his primary position, but I definitely see him getting out of that blocking role a little more and being used more like a Kelce or a Darren Waller or somebody like that that's used in the passing game a lot more and not just as a blocker or somebody helping out. Especially with this offensive line, which I think will be much better than it has been in previous years. I think Muth won't have to stay in as much and help out like Chip with Dan Moore or Chooks or Broderick or somebody like that. I think he'll be able to release out in formation or release out and run routes, catch the ball more. I think he'll be utilized in the pass game a lot more this year. So hopefully that's something that we'll see. Man, I'm excited about this offense this year to see what Arthur Smith's going to do. I feel like there's going to be a big change for the better. I think that we're going to be more explosive. We're not going to be as predictable. We're going to be able to score more. We're going to keep teams on their toes. I think it's going to be all around a better situation. I think our quarterback is in a better spot right now. Quarterback room is in a better spot right now. I think all around, I think we're just going to have a better team. And all around, we have a lot more depth, I think. Not at every position, but we definitely have more depth than we have in the previous years. Now, speaking of depth, our outside linebacker, our fourth outside linebacker, that's a spot that's kind of up for grabs right now. And we have a dynamic top three with TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig, which three players I really like. You have TJ Watt, who's he's an old guy in the room. I mean, he's not old, but I mean, he's the longest tenure Steeler in that room. He's defensive player of the year, should be a multi-time defensive player of the year, at least three time. Probably the best player on the planet, like Mike Tomlin says. And you have Alex Highsmith, a player that is made his mark on the NFL as an elite edge rusher. So that's somebody perfect to pair up with TJ Watt. And then you have the youngin in Nick Herbig that just makes plays whenever he's on the field. Like whenever he gets his chances, I feel like he's making plays. Now him, I see his snap count going up a ton this year. I think he'll move into that outside linebacker three spot. I believe he was at that four last year. Played mostly known passing downs. But somebody else that I like that's already on the roster is Jeremiah Moon. I mean, we claimed him off waivers from the Ravens. I believe when they brought back Mark Andrews, he was put on waivers and the Steelers were able to claim him. I guess they thought that he was going to be able to slip through, but I think that's a good move by the Steelers. I mean, he's 25 years old, 6'5", 250. He's athletic. I mean, he ran a 4.7, 6.40. He has a 40-inch vert, 11-foot broad jump. I mean, he's an athletic player. He knows the AFC North. I mean, he's, like I say, he's played for the Ravens. He's played in both games against the Steelers last year. He had 5 tackles and 2 forced fumbles, I believe. He's played in 8 games with 1 start. So, I mean, he's has a little bit of playing time, a little bit of experience. He's not somebody that's fresh out of college that hasn't played in the NFL. He knows what it's like. He knows what it takes, especially playing for a team like the Ravens. Playing in our division, he knows what AFC North ball is. He knows what to expect and he knows what's expected of him. Now he's somebody that I would like, if the Steelers like him, I love him. You know, I think he could be a good option at that fourth outside linebacker. I'm gonna have to go back and try to find a little bit more tape of him. But from what I've seen, I mean, I think he'd be a good fourth outside linebacker while he's still young. I mean, him and Herbig are two players that can grow together. Now, outside of him, there are some options still out there, especially some that are familiar with the Steelers. You have Marcus Golden and Bud Dupree are still free agents. I'm not sure what kind of contract Bud will be looking for at this point in his career. Marcus Golden, I'm not sure if he was offered a contract to stay, so he's a free agent now. So I'm not sure what he's looking to do for next year, but those are just some options that are floating around. But I think Jeremiah Moon is somebody that he'll probably grab that fourth outside linebacker spot. I really wouldn't be surprised if it was him. But like I said, man, this team is, I think we're heading the right direction. There are definitely some positions we need to fill out. I believe we do need another corner. We definitely need another receiver. I keep looking at Justin Simmonson out there at safety. I mean, I think if you pair him up with Minka and you have Elliott being able to play in the box, man, that's a dangerous secondary, especially with Joey Porter Jr. locking down teams number ones. And then we have our our new linebacker that we just drafted in Peyton Wilson. He's someone I think that definitely will play third down, those passing downs. He's someone that will be able to take away tight ends and those big slots, running backs at the backfield. So I think we're heading in the right spot, or heading in the right direction. I'm excited to see what this season's going to be. So, man, it's going to be fun. I'm ready for the schedule to come out. I thought it was going to come out this upcoming Thursday. I'm not sure when you're listening to this podcast, but I thought it was going to come out Thursday the 9th, but it seemed like it's been pushed back by a week. So we'll see when that does come out. So make sure y'all stay tuned. Hit that notification bell. Any other news that comes up, you know, we'll talk about it here on the Black and Gold Fan Show. So, man, please, if you haven't already, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And like I always say, stay blessed, stay positive. Here we go.